Hi guys, welcome back to the Impact Events Podcast, Season 2, Episode 11. Alright guys, before we dive into deep in this episode, don't forget about our sponsor, Blackout Coffee.
Go to impactgear.live/coffee to get your blackout coffee. They have a lot of different flavors over there. It's really, really good coffee. And use the coupon code IMPACTDEFENSE, and that will get you 10% off. All right, guys, we are back with a good friend. I guess he's a preacher, a black belt, an all-around decent guy.
Except for the last part. Middle's a little fuzzy, and the preacher's iffy. Depends on who you ask.
Oh, so really so good none of those things. He's been on now. Well, if we think that one episode that we had with all of the preachers, we actually
the longest breaking episode ever.
No, we broke that up in three episodes.
I know, it was awesome. And it was still the longest episode. Four preachers? Are you kidding me?
I know. I knew it was going to be long.
Yeah.
So we got that one, and then you came on again earlier this season, and now today. So this is going to make five episodes for you.
Yep.
Way to go.
Awesome. Sweet. Do I get like a top fan badge or something for
we
that?
We need something like that.
We need a shirt.
We ought to give something to somebody for like returning guests.
Yeah. You got me coffee, so I'm good.
Oh, yeah.
That's really all I need.
You got that wonderful blackout coffee.
And I got the blackout coffee, which is really delish.
So we thought we'd have fun a little bit today. And I've talked many times that, you know, when I started martial arts, when I was growing up, I was dying to do martial arts. I wanted to do it so bad. My mom calls around to places and they're like, oh yeah, if you can do this, but know that he's going to probably have a broken bone. He's going to get beat up. He's going to be bruised and bloody. This is just the norm. Because I
wonderful
was,
advertising method, it was, by the way.
I know.
That's like, just fantastic.
That's the 80s for you.
Yeah, right.
So mom got scared and she was like, I'm not putting him in anything like that.
Right.
So 19 years old, 1 month after I got married, I heard about you.
Wow. 19.
You were right across town from where I worked. Yep. And I was like, okay, this guy teaching out of a community center. I've always wanted to do this. 1 month after marriage, I look at my wife and I said, hey, babe, I know we just got married and all, but I want to take karate.
And he said it just like that, too.
I probably said it a little differently. But anyway. And
his wife swooned.
She was like, how often and how much?
Right. Those are the questions, aren't they? Yeah. That's the adult decisions.
But I had a cousin already training martial arts with you and everything, and and they spoke very highly of you. And as much as I loved the martial arts and martial arts movies and everything about it, I really didn't know what I was getting into. Stylistically, I didn't know anything.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I didn't, you know, I knew they were different. You could tell, you know, by watching the movies and stuff. They were different. But you didn't, you know, whatever. It was a dude on the other side of town that was not far from us that was teaching. I'm like, let's do it. So
all about convenience.
Yeah, it was. I say often that I lucked out because I lucked out in the fact that I actually got with an instructor who cared about actual self-defense. And I didn't realize that probably until 3 or 4 years into it when I started like, so, okay, let me go out here and train with this person. I'll go out here and train with this person and then see how they did self-defense. And I was like, oh, that's bull crap right there.
Yeah. That'll never work. Don't do that. Yeah. Yeah.
I guess was it just the way you kind of come up in martial arts, or is it one of those things that you like looked at and said, this is crap, it wouldn't work, so why don't we try this thing? Like what led you to that position of actually teaching something decent?
Yeah, so, I mean, again, I kind of looked up too, right? Mm-hmm. So I was a 11-year-old fat kid. Couldn't run, so I would have to stand and fight or get beat up. And my parents said, "Hey, you want to try karate?" And I said, "Sure, let's do that." Because I was not into sports. I was just not athletic.
Yeah,
I was not the athletic shape.
You know? Let me just say, so, if you haven't heard earlier podcasts and heard us reference any kind of like where I got my start or anything, it's Kyokushin karate. Right. So it is a style that by itself, in and of itself, is a full contact style.
Right, full contact
of karate. So when people think karate and you look at like Cobra Kai or whatever else on TV,
right,
or the Karate Kid or anything else, it's not that.
No, not at all. Not at all. No, Kyokushin was developed to be brutal and developed to end fights. because, you know, Masayama really thought that way too. He just thought about the forms of it and thought that, hey, you know, this is not really what martial arts needs to look like.
Yeah.
You know, plus he had a lot of national pride going on and things like that too, but that sort of, you know, fueled him. But yeah, for me, so I got lucky, right? And the place that I started was Kyokushin. It was in a rec center in Thomasville, and I was just like, you know, enthralled with it when I first got in, because all of a sudden, like, I was learning how to be a better person. I was learning how to be a better me, like, you know, and so going up through the ranks and growing up into it was just fantastic. And it was sort of instilled in us, not just a little bit, but not a lot, but it was enough for me. It was instilled in us to really think out what you're doing, and to really find what works for you, you know. And so that mindset was sort of there, which is what broke the dojo I was with away from one of the original ones, because they wanted more of that mindset too.
Okay.
But it was, and there was other personal problems too, sure, I'm sure. But, you know,
there's so much politics in the martial arts. People just don't understand.
Oh my gosh, y'all, you have no idea. It is when you find a good school, stay there and don't go anywhere else, because you're just going to get nothing but crap. And like, it is a political field. It's ridiculous. But anyway, so yeah, that mindset was kind of established with us, you know. It was nothing that was really taught. So like, you can't teach that mindset. You can just say it's available, you know.
Yeah.
And so it was about the time we got brown belts and things like that's when we really started realizing that we could open ourselves up and we could say, you know, like if you don't like the way this technique works, what would you do better? What would you do different? What's going to make you feel more comfortable about it? You know, still branch outside your comfort zone, you know, give people that foundation to get outside of your comfort zone so that when you start becoming comfortable, you're not leaning into your three things that you can do. You've got this whole vast array of things you can do.
Right.
So now you can lean really heavily into them, you know? So there was a lot of that. I know for me, I mean, like every other 80s kid, you know, I was influenced by Bruce Lee a lot. You know, but when you read Bruce Lee
and the Karate Kid and Chuck Norris,
it was right. And Chuck Norris is still around. So
yeah, I mean, everybody in our generation, that's the three, right?
That's the three, right? When Jackie Chan came out, like four people knew him, you know, when he branched over here,
you
know, and then Jet Li got famous in Lethal Weapon, and that was about it, right? You know, so, but yeah, for me, reading Bruce Lee though, I loved the philosophy, right? I mean, his philosophy was really like what works best, you know?
Yeah.
And that was what really rubbed people wrong in his world, you know, in the Kung Fu world, because that was so traditional. And so, like, no, this is your master. This is your heritage, right?
Yeah.
So I love that. And I really, I mean, I don't remember what your exact question was, but it was intentional to try to teach that way. I don't think I did it. Definitely didn't do it to the best of my abilities at that time. But, I mean, I do feel like we wanted to set that pace for people to say, yes, think outside the box. And that's why, like, when you came to me and said, hey, I'm gonna go to this place, go, like, do it.
Yeah
go learn, because I don't know that, you know. And for those who don't know, Brian taught me grappling. I knew enough to, at that day and time, either end a fight really quick or get killed really quick. It was gonna be one of the two. I was not gonna fight with somebody on the ground. It would not happen. Like, I knew enough to, if I got on the ground, then you better watch out. I'm gonna go scrapping, you know. And then that means I'm either going to get hurt or you're going to get really hurt. So Brian wanted to learn grappling. So he wanted to go train in grappling. And I was like, do it. Great, man. And you know, enhance your understanding of this. And so we wanted to promote that with people, that it was okay, you know, to
I always loved that kind of the open idea that you had with training. You know, it was that, you know, we have this thing. And then if we don't know this thing, we go learn this thing. You know,
we need to learn it. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And that was, I think, you know, the basics of the self-defense mode in Kyokushin was enough to cover 80% of your issues, right, that you're going to face.
Yeah.
But it was always really quick. It was no real, you know, branching outside. What if somebody knows more than you kind of deal? And so that was where it was really handy to see you train in these other forms and with these other people too.
It was also really interesting to learn that, like, Masayama had trained, you know, he was a black belt in judo.
Right.
And he had done a lot within judo and groundwork and everything else. So, you know, all that helps when you can, if you can keep yourself from getting taken down because you have trained that.
Yes.
Then you can stand up and strike all day long.
Exactly.
Look at Chuck Liddell. I mean, Chuck Liddell didn't spend a whole lot of, and I'm dating myself there with the UFC. That's early 2000s stuff right there. But like,
there's still somebody out there with his mohawk and his shirt on. Don't you worry. Oh, sure. they're listening right now saying, yeah, Chuck was the best.
I like to watch Chuck.
Chuck, baby.
But, you know, he was a phenomenal wrestler.
Oh, yeah.
And everything. but he preferred to stand up and punch somebody in the face,
right,
or kick them in the face,
right.
And because of that, you know, with that training that he had, allowed him to do that. So the training that we could do, and your openness to say, hey man, yeah, let's go learn ground fighting, you know, and
yeah,
and incorporate some things there, it kind of, it really helped us to be able to kind of be more well-rounded and everything,
right. Well, I had a little bit of Hungar training too, which mm-hmm. was, you know, a Chinese martial art, and so I was able to bring some of that in,
yeah,
and incorporate that into our training regimen. At least, you know, when people walked away and they were sore that night, it was because the Hungar came out. You know, that's just,
I was just telling somebody about one of the torturous type of classes that you would do.
I think that's what it means. Is torture?
It's just like, it's Chinese, I think,
it
for torture.
It was some bully who really wanted to kill somebody slowly, and they invented Hungar. And they're like, let's just give animal names to everything. That sounds really fancy, you know, and really it's just pain and suffering, and it hurts. And but there were some beautiful things about it too, like some of the, you know, when you could get into the way you punch and the way you strike and kick and block, and there's some beautiful form to it that you could incorporate.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I was actually just telling one of my black belts, another one of my black belts who's a little older than me, and he had trained and was a second degree black belt in another style, and then comes in, hey Scott, if you're listening,
hey Scott,
we were talking, and then another one of my young black belts, 21 years old, we were talking, and said, man, yeah, it we're a lot nicer to you than happy. And I brought up one of the classes that you did several times that I will never forget, and that was when, like, hey, go grab a big wooden chair, and this is going to be your friend for the night.
Yeah.
And it was just like an hour and a half long of doing terrible things. Everything horrifying. You're doing, it was like holding a chair out, uh-huh, straight arms,
yep,
as you're throwing side kicks and front kicks and everything. It's this nice big wooden heavy chairs, not like the little things we have.
No, it's not the cheapo ones. It was the heavy duty lighter chairs.
And then it was like set them down, and like you had to do side kicks and all these kicks over top of them. Everything. I don't know how you were so creative to get an hour. I don't remember if that was an hour and a half long class. I can't remember now.
Yeah, I can't remember.
But, how you just did the entire class all around this chair. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man. You suck.
Yeah, I know, right? Nobody liked me at that class. Yeah. Because everybody thought we were going to do like chair self-defense. I was like, no. We're going to be some intense training tonight, you know? Yeah. And you still learned, and it makes you do your forms better, right?
Yeah.
It makes you have a better sidekick when you have to worry about not falling because you got this chair in your hand and things of that nature. But
anytime you walked into Brandon's class and he says, I need a good workout tonight, it was like, oh gosh, we're going to die.
Yeah. Yeah, that was mean. I shouldn't have.
No, it's great.
That was
if
true.
Nothing else, it made for great stories.
That was true. It does, right? It's great. Yeah, that was true. Yeah, when I needed a good workout, I like everybody else got a good workout.
See, everybody, like, when you were around, and I fussed at you over this one, because when I was in your class, now that we're good friends and all this kind of stuff. Anyway.
Lay it on the table, buddy. It's good. It's good.
you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. When I was in the class and your instructor came in.
Oh yeah.
As adults.
Yeah.
There's adults who's like, oh gosh, why Shion him? Garrett's here.
Why him?
Why?
Yeah.
Why?
What did we do?
And it was like, then I became an instructor, had my own school, and I was like, hey Brandon, come down and jump in. And you come in and everybody's like, yay,
Shion Wolf. Yeah.
And I was like, no, dude, you're not getting this right. You're supposed to strike fear in these people. Yeah. This is what you're supposed to do. You come in and it's like the, let's have fun.
This is fun night.
Yeah, yeah. I was like,
it's kind of like,
I had a kid look at me one time and say, can he be here every night?
Oh,
and
that's
I
was not like, good. Yeah, that's not good. Sorry.
Shut up, kid.
Yeah. No, I am good in small doses. That's it. You don't want me around all the time. It's full time. It gets really old quick. Well, it's kind of the grandparent mentality too. You know, it's like,
that's when I started telling the stories about the chairs and stuff. So I said, no, he's a lot nicer to you than he was to us.
Yeah, he was really mean to us, but we were his kids. You're his grandkids. That's the way it is. You know, it's kind of that.
Yeah, and
he just really bled over into martial arts too.
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus, in all honesty, in all candor, I'm super proud of what you've done with it, because you took this thing to places I could have never gone. I was not equipped to do this. I was not, you know, I was doing it. It was a hobby for me. You know, it was a lifestyle for sure. But, I mean, it was never in my mind to have something full time with it. Man, you were the right person.
I don't know. I think a lot of determination and just hard-headedness can take you a long way.
It can.
Sometimes.
It can.
And I think that's all I really bring to the table.
That's how I got my wife.
I've told people many times. I have told people many times, I went undefeated in full contact fighting, not because I was the best fighter, not because I was the most skilled striker or most skilled grappler. I went undefeated in fighting because losing was just not really an option.
You could take a punch.
I could take a punch.
You could take a hit.
And I could just keep going. And any other, whoops, don't knock over the coffee cup. any other, like, just thought of going, like, wait, no, I losing, no. No,
that's not losing. That's not, I'm here to win. No. Yeah.
And
we don't quit until one of us is, like, passed out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was just one of those things where I'm just like, it's just determination and hard-headedness. Right. That's all it really was.
Those are very good characteristics to have, too. So, but, I mean, I would disagree. I think there's some more natural talent in there, too. But anyway.
You know, another thing that I'm actually really thankful for is because I've actually told other people as well, I don't think I could have made it to a black belt in any style of karate or anything like that under most people. And because of the mentality, and I say, I had this word. It's three letters, and it pisses a lot of people off, and that's why. And yet you dealt with that really well.
Yeah.
I have.
I wasn't able to answer everything, but I was at least able to tell you you could go somewhere else and find those answers if you needed to as well.
But,
you know.
I'm definitely a why person. If we're going to do something, I want to know why we were going to do it.
Right.
You know, if we're going to do something a particular way, I want to know why.
Right.
You know. So in the job that I had for 20 years, I pissed them off a lot. And they finally got used to it because it was the idea of like, we're going to do this. I was like, why? It doesn't make sense to me. Why?
Right.
You know,
explain it.
And that's not always the best thing. I think it's very good to have.
Yeah.
It's just not always the best for everyone else,
understood.
I guess,
yeah.
or the easiest for them to deal with. And I've done that a lot. And basically there's a lot of, like martial artists, especially traditional martial artists, who do not
they do not like that
because I ask why. But and there's some guys that I just don't train with in any way, form, or whatsoever because they don't know why.
Right.
Why? Because they we've been doing it this way since the 1940s.
Yeah, that's exactly. Well, because way back yonder in Okinawa, I mean that's the why. Because it was always done this way.
The thing is,
people don't understand. Martial arts have a why.
Look, everything
is a why.
Yeah. Look at people like Jesse Inkamp and Ian Abernathy. You know, these guys go, if we actually look back to like pre-1900 karate,
yes,
that stuff was brutal. It was mean.
Pre-sport karate. Like,
yeah. And then all of a sudden you get past, especially past World War II.
Yeah.
And when they try to spread it all over the world, that's when it got really crappy.
Yep. Well, it was a marketing tool.
Yeah.
I mean, they had to export something at that point.
Yeah.
You know, and that was part of it. And they wanted, it was a national pride thing. I mean, you got to understand, like, Oriental people are very, very rigid in their pride, their heritage and things like that. You know, and I think that's something to be said for that. I think we can use a good dose of that in America, you know.
Yeah.
But these people had to export something, and they wanted to say, hey, we're still better at you than this, even though they may not have always said that, you know, and I know that not all of them said that, so I hope you don't get any nasty emails from that comment there.
Please don't we get nasty context, emails for all kinds of stupid stuff.
Well, you know, email. Impact.com. No, I'm just kidding.
It's usually comments on YouTube.
It's usually comments. Okay.
We get so much hate on YouTube.
Yeah, but there's nothing wrong with, like, national pride thing. I mean, that, you know, again, it's like anything else. You can focus it, and you can put it in the right place, and so unfortunately, what happened with the martial arts was that they really became watered down and popularized and just, you know, I mean, I kind of look at it as, you know, they just made them all kid friendly.
Yeah.
You know, and that was where Masayama was really against the grain too, you know, because he was like, no, this is not kid friendly. This is, and I'm going to prove it to you in the worst way possible.
If kids get black belts under me, they're going to earn them.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, if that kid is walking around with a Kyokushin black belt in Japan, dude, yeah, just walk away. Walk on the other side of the street. Okay. Because he hasn't got a conscience yet, and he will eat you alive, probably literally. Like, you know? So, yeah, you got a lot of that national pride going on, but still, you know, they did get really watered down. But the martial arts, everything was a why. The whole invention of the systems was, like, we can disguise things with a why, you know, or having the why, we can disguise what we're doing. You know, like when you go into the Kabuto arts and things like that with Okinawan weaponry. Like, I mean, who would have thought to pick up – well, we wouldn't be walking around saying, let's pick up a shovel and make a kata out of it, right?
Yeah.
But they're looking at a staff that carries water pails, and they're like, we could do some damage with that guy. What would we do if this was really a weapon? You know, or like, you know, hey, I'm I'm harvesting grain, harvesting wheat, harvesting rice. Like, what can you do with that little three-prong stick in your hand?
Yeah.
I think I could do a lot, actually, you know? And it was probably some little old woman out there who you didn't want to mess with who had really good size skills, you know? But, I mean, there was a why. So, you have to embrace that, you know?
Yeah.
And you have to go looking for that, too, at some point.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think that the ability to, if not answer the questions, immediately finding an answer or saying, I'm not sure, but maybe you can ask this person over here, was really good for me. And I don't think I could have made it to black belt because, like I said, I didn't realize, like, I just thought, oh, okay, this is the way of the martial arts. So,
yeah.
So you spoiled me on that one. I started going and training some other people and I was like, oh, you kind of suck. And, or if we do this one thing, I trained with this guy in Japanese jiu-jitsu, and I'll just tell the story. I don't care. And he showed me this throw, and we'll get up. I'll show it to you later.
Okay.
And there's a whole big story around this, but basically, let me see your hand, Kylie. Okay, Kylie, sit beside of me. So you're grabbing a hand like this.
Yes.
And you do this thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's like doing that, but she's seated. And if you're standing still, he would do it, and she would just fly over and like hit the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah, but pretty much like an Aikido.
The other guy's got to be trained too. Yeah, the bad guy has to be trained first. I did that,
and he goes like, all right, come over here and try. And his students were just like, fly over. I was like, oh.
You're like, you didn't do that.
Nobody.
I didn't do that.
Nobody did that to me.
Yeah.
Nobody tried to take me down with it.
Right.
This was like one of those. I was like, I don't know, man. It don't really seem like I'm throwing them. I know it don't feel that way.
Nor does it look that way. Nor are the physics possible at all.
But he says, but understand that these guys are very trained. So they know to roll out of it. If somebody doesn't know to roll out of it, they're going to go face plant into the floor.
Still a hard no, right?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll see it. Yeah.
So anyway, I go home that evening and I go over actually to my parents' house. My brother still lived with my parents at the time. They have hardwood floors.
I was really glad you didn't say you went home and said, honey, come here.
No.
We're going to try something. You knew better.
I'm not stupid. So when it comes to anything like this, it's like, hey, there's my brother.
That's my brother. That's right. That's what he's there for. Yeah.
Come on. So I said, hey, come here. Let's try this thing. They have hardwood floors. That's how much I was convinced that this was actually going to work.
Right.
I was like, okay, I need your hand. And I took his hand and he just kind of like stepped forward. And I said, what's this supposed to do?
He goes, what are you doing?
I said, supposed to throw you. Yeah. He goes,
no. No, I ain't going to throw you. That was his voice right there, too. That was his voice.
Nah. Yeah. So, that was one of those moments where I was like, yeah, this guy sucks.
Yeah.
I only went back to train with him one time after that. I ever trained with him twice.
Right.
I can't remember his name.
And probably in that art with his students or with his teachers, he was probably top dog.
Like he was
right. Scenario.
And that's the other thing I think that bothers me. But
that's not
me.
A real world scenario.
Yeah.
It's just like keeping it confined. That's like, it's like having rules for hockey. Like the hockey players who play hockey, they're going to be good with each other because they have their little rules. A hockey player is not going to do well against a basketball player, because totally different world.
Fights in hockey. There's a great thing.
Yeah.
We went to watch a hockey game with some friends and they were like, I hope you get to see some fights. And I was like, I want to see skilled fighters fight each other.
Exactly.
guys in hockey fights, you put them against a guy in MMA, they're going to die.
Right, right. So, perfect. That's a way better analogy than mine. Yes, absolutely.
But anyway, I think the hero worship is another thing that really gets on my nerves.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
That's exactly what you're talking about. They create this little world for themselves, especially in traditional martial arts, create this little world for themselves, and they are the king, and everybody looks up to that person. And then all of a sudden, the next thing you got people doing no-touch knockouts,
Exactly. You got Kiai Jitsu, which is not real. don't take classes on this, y'all.
I think, I've not really done a whole lot of stuff like April Fool's things or, you know, posts or different things like that. There was one time when in our Facebook group for our adult class and our adult students, I did post this big thing. And it was like, hey, this is the thing we're going to be working on this month and all this stuff. So that was fun. Which a bunch of clips from these no-touch knockout things.
It's
You know, 6 inches away from them, and it's falling out and stuff.
It's like, I think on the Instagram, there's this one page I follow. It's McDojo.
A McDojo Life?
McDojo Life. Yeah. They show all this, right? And it's fantastic. Like, it's wonderful.
Yeah,
you see the guy is 12 feet away, and the dude's like, oh, using the force, you know? It's like, and the guy goes, oh. I'm like, well, first of all, if that works, it's only demons. Second of all, it don't work. Like, even demons are sitting back like, nah, dude, we don't do that. No, that's not how we work.
I hadn't thought about it in that.
It's just
that
a huckster. Direction. That's all it is. But yeah, hero worship.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to. You know, I know I saw a reporter sometime go to one of these things.
Yeah.
Which, and they tried whatever on her, and she was like, no, sorry, yeah. I didn't feel anything. And they said, well, you know, part of this, and they said it right there on this news channel, said, part of this is you got to actually believe. You know, and I was like, that was the dumbest thing you could have ever said. Because I can tell you right now, I don't believe that crap.
Yeah, yeah. How am I supposed to do that?
So they create these followers. They create these people that just worship the ground they walk on. And then all of a sudden, the next thing you know, they're throwing themselves to the floor because they think they feel a tingle or something.
Right.
You know, it's just it's stupid.
Or they don't want to insult their master's ego. Yeah. And they must think something's wrong with them. So all of a sudden, like, oh, there's something wrong with me. I should be going down.
Like, you know, there's this whole thing of, like, you know, you're surrounded by people who believe something.
Yeah.
You know, you can quickly find yourself compromising what you would normally believe to believe that.
Suspended reality.
Yeah. Because you're surrounded by everybody else who all suddenly believes in that.
Right.
So I have another interesting story on that one sometime.
Well, you know, that's, I mean, they do those studies all the time, right? Where they, like, they show people, they set a person up in a room and they've got like 12 people and there's one guy in there who's not in on it, right? The other 11 are. So they show them all a blue circle. And everybody sees the same blue circle, and they know each other saw the same blue circle. And then they ask, what did you see? And somebody raises their hand, I saw a red square. And everybody goes, I saw a red square too.
Yeah.
And so the last guy's like, what am I supposed to do? It was a blue circle, but I'm just going to say it's a red square.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's a psychological thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows you how easy people can be manipulated.
Yeah.
And martial arts, with that, they can manipulate a lot of people.
They really can. You know? And I hate that. But, you know, I just...
Yeah, and it can't, you know, you got those Chinese, the old Chinese kung fu schools where they would have like their school named after their master. And it's like, you were so privileged to be invited to participate in this school. Mm-hmm. And it was that like turf war stuff. I mean, there's still that going on now.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know how much there is because I'm out of the martial arts industry like completely.
Yeah.
So I know when I was coming up, there was still turf war.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like, when you ran into this guy from this guy's dojo, it was like, oh, we don't like them. Mm-hmm. Why not? Well, you know, he kicked your master in the head one time. Why don't we like him? Like, I'd like to kick my master in the head sometimes, you know? Like, I mean, like, why don't I like this guy? You know, so there was still some turf war going on there. But it's like it breeds that too.
Yeah.
If it's not careful, if it's not done right, if it's not taught right, it breeds that, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, there's some jerks.
Yeah,
that I would generally try to steer some of my students away from. But outside of that, I'm like, hey, you know, this person out here, man, they're great to go train with. You want to work on this particular thing? Man, we're working on footwork. Go to this person right here. You want to work on some other ground skills that are, you know, outside of what I do? Go to this person over here. You know, but you know, I mean, there's some jerks that I'm going to like, no, don't get him. He's a jerk. Yeah. But I actually wouldn't say it that way. But it's like thinking
that in any field whatsoever. I'm a pastor, and I can definitely
Go to that church. That preacher's a jerk.
Yeah. Somebody says, "What's a good biblical church?" I say, "Well, ours." And if you're not close enough, I say, "Not that one." You know, like, don't go there. You know. It's like that. It's just human nature. Human nature. You know, you find a place where you put a person in there who wants to be in control, wants to be on top of the scene, and
that can actually happen in pretty much any environment. I mean, what happens in the martial arts?
Right.
I think we see this like hyper. The word I'm looking for, just overly whatever big version of that in the martial arts, because you have the no touch knockout stuff. But really that happens. Yeah. In churches, it happens in businesses. You know, when you have somebody who's just this over the top leader in a business, man, you can have the same thing. People start to like basically worship the ground he walks on.
Yeah.
And It's crazy. Stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's across the board, and it shouldn't be that way.
Yeah. You know?
That's why we're thankful for schools like this that don't promote that at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a friend one time. He's a really good friend of mine in martial arts, and we were talking. He looked at me. He goes, "You know, Brian, you talk about your instructor, and you say Brandon, mm-hmm. and you talk about his instructor, and you say Jimmy." Mm-hmm. And he says, "You shouldn't be saying Jimmy and Brandon and all this stuff." He goes, as an adult, I walked in, looked at my instructor one time and called him by his first name. We were not in class. They were in the building, but not in class. And he said, he made me do 50 knuckle pushups right there on the spot as an adult.
Wow.
And I'm like, dude, I couldn't learn under somebody like that.
Right.
Because I'm going to be honest with you. There's part of me that would just assume blow the whole Shihan sensei, all that kind of crap out of the water.
Yeah.
You know, and tell the kids just to call me Mr. Brian and, you know, and everything else. There's that part of me because I don't ever want to set myself up on a pedestal. Mm-hmm. And I've told my students for years, you know, you put me on a pedestal, that's just a further the fall.
Right. Right.
You know? So I don't want the Superman syndrome. I've mm-hmm. seen too many of those.
Sure.
I've you know, sat in on some workshops and stuff. I've gone to big conferences where I'm around a lot of other black belts and a lot of other instructors, and they just try to set themselves up like I am the best. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Buy my book.
Yeah.
I know, right? Yeah. Yeah, and that's something that always bothered me too.
Yeah.
You know, and when I was coming up, we started to lose some of that just because it became – I think it was more financially that got lost because I think the instructors realized that one of the instructors that we kind of had to depart from, I think he realized that people in our area weren't going to buy traditional martial arts for their kids. Mm-hmm. Like they literally wanted their kids to get in, learn how to defend themselves, learn a good quality martial art because, you mm-hmm. know, McDojos are a dime a dozen still. Yeah. And they wanted them to compete. They wanted to see them go do things for trophies, all those things, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I think some of that started to fade there. But yeah, I was that way too. I didn't want this like hero mentality.
Yeah. I try to tell my adult students, you know, like, sure, if we're in a class, that's basically what I'll boil down to it. Because I don't want to be out at Walmart and some adult look at me and go, "Hey, sensei." You know, exactly. That's weird, right. You know. But yeah. I'm like, listen, in class, when we're doing the class, yeah, we'll stick to the titles. When we're done with class, I'm Brian.
Right.
You know. Right. Now, the kids, that's a different story. You know?
Sure.
Because, you know, can't kids really kind of blur that line too much.
That's right.
And so we do that. We kind of stick to that with kids.
Yeah.
You know.
But there's a respect element to martial arts, and too. That's the thing, too. So you've got to figure out how to keep that in.
Yeah.
Because that is a big part of the martial arts, is that respect. I mean, still to this day, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am.
Oh, absolutely.
That's ingrained
in me. Somebody the other day, man, I say yes, sir, no, sir to five-year-olds.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I say it to my son. I say it to my daughter.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, I just...
And when I say it to three-year-olds.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah.
You don't, but, you know. You don't outgrow those sort of things, and that's a beautiful thing, right? Yeah. So you have to make sure that you keep that in. But you don't have to have the, like, I am better than you syndrome. It's equality is what the respect is.
Yeah. We have been going for a lot longer than I anticipated or expected.
That's what happens when you get a preacher involved.
Yeah, we're not even talking about preacher type stuff.
I know. Man. It's just by default. Nah. We just talk.
I think it's just the friend thing.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Yeah. We could probably do this for hours.
We've been friends since, for like 24 years now at this point in time.
Yes.
So, yep.
24 years.
Yeah, that is awesome.
That's amazing.
It's over half our lives.
It is.
It really is. We've been friends for half our lives
too. So that's the great part.
Yeah, I've been married the entire time too.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. Okay. So, maybe we're gonna redo that. Say that again. Yeah, I've been married the entire time. Just kidding. You know he loves you, Julie.
But I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, anytime. I absolutely. Want you to come back again. I'm going to come up with a subject. I don't know what it's going to be.
Say the word, brother.
All right. So, guys, thank you very much for listening to the podcast. I'll let Kylie talk shit and talk a whole lot.
If you enjoy this podcast, go ahead and like, subscribe, and write a comment or write a review.
And share it with your friends.
And share it with your friends.
All right, guys. We'll see you in the next one.
Bye.
We're just talking about the joys of, you know, people finding out we do karate and hey, can you beat me up?
Oh, the gosh, I get crap all probably, the time.
The only people that would probably do that.
I better not make you mad.
Oh, yeah. Oh, look at that,
boys,
Bruce Lee.
Teenage boys.
Yeah. You can't beat them up. You can beat them up.
I know.
Somehow or another, put that in.
I know,
that's right there.
Like,
please put that in.
That needs to be like an after the credit kind of thing.
Please
like
put
after
that in.
The, after
do
the
whatever it takes.
And just the
I want
right
that.
There.
Like, that. I know. Like, yeah. I can throw a bunch of kid. Yeah.